This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, praise God. God is so good. I'm starting a new series this month, and I'm going to be ministering on the subject of grace. Can somebody say grace?
Grace.
Amen. And, you know, some say grace is... you can break down the word grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen? And, there is a common grace that God gives to all people. And so because the Bible says, you know, that he rains his goodness on the just and the unjust, but we have more than common grace. Somebody say, I have Jesus' grace. Amen. So you have Jesus grace. So you have a grace that will help you overcome any situation in this life. When you start understanding about the grace of God, I'm going to say this. There's nothing you cannot tackle, because the grace of God will help you through anything in your life. Can I get an amen on that? And when we start understanding how grace works in a believer's life, when we get a revelation of this, I'm telling you, it will get all the fear, all the anxiety, all the worry out of you. Amen? Somebody say, God's grace is sufficient for me. Amen. His grace. You know, I'm going to say this, and that God's grace works the best when you're in the hardest place of your life. I'm going to say that again. God's grace works the best when you're in the hardest place of your life. Amen. Remember, Paul said, you know, he was dealing with some things. He was praying that, you know, the devil was attacking him. And then Jesus spoke to him and said to him, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. I am made strong. So when we're weak, that's when we get on our knees and we receive God's strength. Glory to God. Amen. Say, by grace.
By grace.
The Bible says it's by grace through faith. And I'm going to say this. This is how we live our life, is by God's grace. And God's grace is endowment. It's this empowering power that helps us to walk a victorious life. I'm preaching today. A victorious life down here on this earth. When all hell's breaking loose, God's going to divinely protect you.
Amen.
Do you believe that? His grace can do that. And so I love God's, talking about God's grace. And let's look at a foundational scripture this morning, because I'm going to talk to you about how grace can be increased in your life. You know, you can actually increase the power of God. You can say grace is the power of God to help you walk this Christian life. You can increase, somebody say increase.
Increase.
You can increase the grace of God on your, how many people want to learn how to increase the grace? Because see, listen, can I get out of my seat? Listen. If you increase the grace, then that means everything that you do down here will become easy.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. How many people want things to be easier in your life? How many people want your relationships to go easier?
Amen.
Amen. I want easy relationships. I don't want hard relationships. Your finances going a little easier.
Amen.
How many people like to have some grace in your finances? Amen. God can do that. Your health. How about your health springing forth speedily? That's in the Bible. It says your health will spring forth speedily. Can somebody say grace?
Grace.
See, it's the grace of God that can cause all the good things to happen in your life. And you know what? I'm going to say this morning. Man, I'm getting off my... You know, I'm going to say this morning, you're not under the law. You're not trying to struggle and try to keep the law perfectly. You're not trying to do that. In the Old Testament, they had to try to keep the law, and then they always failed, and then they had a sacrifice system with animals, and if they sinned, sometimes they would have to bring an animal to the priest and say, I sinned, and here's a sacrifice to cover my sins. But God's grace doesn't just cover our sins. It wipes our sins away. God's blood, Jesus' blood, washes our sins away. And not only that, it helps us to go into a greater place in God. Somebody say, I'm under grace. Wow, that's powerful, because if you're under grace, you're under God's empowerment. Amen. In other words, you couldn't even get up this morning without God's grace. I'm preaching to somebody today. You couldn't even find your shoes without God's grace. Amen. You're not even breathing without God's grace. Amen. Your heart's beating because of God's grace. Amen. Can I get a witness and say, by grace?
By grace.
By grace. By grace. That's how we live our lives, by grace. Now let's look at Acts here. And I love the book of Acts. And this is powerful because, you know, I believe that that God wants the church actually going back into the place where Acts, you know, in the book of Acts, and when the church started, it operated in great power. And God wants the church operating, say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
He wants the church operating in great power. Do you believe that today? He doesn't want us operating in weakness. He wants us operating in strength and power. Amen. And so let's look at this, because this is powerful. In the book of Acts, this is really powerful. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33. It says it this way. Now the multitude of those who believed, talking about the church, were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, somebody say great power.
Great power.
The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Somebody say great grace.
Great grace.
Now this is really powerful, because a lot of times we think, well, great grace is only on the preachers. Right? We think, oh, that preacher has great grace. He's anointed. Amen? Have you ever seen a preacher anointed? You're looking at one. Amen? But I'm going to say this, that, amen. I'm going to say this, that the anointing, another word for anointing is grace. If you say that person's anointed, amen, like Tony is amazing on the drums, and he's anointed. He's empowered to do a job for God. And so what God's grace does, it empowers us to serve God and to serve Him effectively and efficiently. Do you believe that today? And so it empowers us. Say, I'm being empowered today. So it says with great grace. So if there's great grace, then I would have to submit to you there could be common grace, and then there could be average grace. But I believe that God wants us walking in great grace.
Amen.
Because I believe there's levels of grace that we can walk in. Amen. And so I want to walk in that great grace. Amen. And that's God's power to overcome anything in this world. In other words, God wants to put his grace, what it does, he puts his super on our natural. Can somebody say supernatural? So God puts his super on our natural. So when God puts his grace on us, amen, then we can do things that other people can't. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love that. And the early church walked in the grace. Let's look at the scripture one more time. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So we see here, it's interesting that we can see that they had all things in common. They were in what I would say, perfect unity. Amen. Amen. They were in unity with one another, and they were in unity with God. Amen? I love that. And so if you want to walk in great grace, I'm speaking today, I'm talking to somebody today, you have to get in unity with the Father, and you got to get in unity with one another. Because what is the enemy trying to do? What shuts down the grace in our lives? What shuts down the grace in our lives is division. Division is that word comes from the word divide. The devil is a master at division and subtraction. God is into addition and multiplication. Okay? God wants to add to us, and God wants to multiply us. The devil wants to divide us. The devil wants to separate us from the goodness of God. In other words, keep us from obeying God, which can separate us from the grace of God, and keep us from walking in love towards one another. Amen? I love this because I believe that God wants us walking in a grace, what I call grace joy. Somebody say grace joy. And if you're going to walk in the joy of the Lord, because some of us are struggling and some of us are tired and we're just trying to make it. And what I believe is that if you're not operating in the joy, you won't have the strength of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to shut down our joy. And if he can shut down our joy, he's going to shut down the grace. See, some of you are not laughing enough. Amen. You need to start laughing. The Bible says, Job says, in the book of Job, it says, laugh in the face of famine. James says, James 1, count it all joy when you encounter trials. When you count it all joy, what you're doing is you're allowing the grace of God, I'm preaching to somebody today, to work in your life. You're counting it all joy. Why? Because God's going to work it out. Can I tell you something this morning? No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're dealing with, if you put your faith and trust in God, He will work it out. Do you believe that today? God will work it out. I've read my Bible. I read the end of the Bible. It says that God wins. Amen. The devil might look like he's winning in your life. He might look like he's winning. But see, he might win some battles, but he's already lost the war. And so what are we here to do? We're here to enforce the devil's defeat. He's a defeated foe. Amen. So we got to walk in the joy of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, I love this scripture in Hebrews 1:9. It says here, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So here, this is talking about Jesus. See, if you're going to walk in the grace of God, you got to love some things. And you're going to have to hate some things. And you say, Pastor, I'm in a church and you're telling me to hate some things? Well, here, this scripture says you need to learn to love righteousness and you need to learn to hate lawlessness. Amen? We got to learn to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. And if we're doing that in the right way, we're turning away from evil and turning to good. We're turning away from the devil and turning to God. Amen? And so we got to do that. And when you're doing that and you're pushing away evil, then grace works in your life. Your grace of God will not encourage you to sin. The grace of God is not a license for you to sin. It's not like, well, I got grace so I can live in darkness and God's grace is okay. No. The blood only works when you're walking in the light. Now, it does work to a degree because God has mercy and His mercy will extend out to you. But you can't keep walking in darkness and get God's grace. You got to walk in righteousness. You got to love righteousness. And sometimes we think, you know, well, I'm not lying, stealing, and cheating. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong in my life. Well, there might be some other things that you might be doing that might be shutting down the grace in your life. Now, let's look at this. This is powerful. Let's look at Exodus 20, because this is real powerful. And in Exodus 20, this is talking about the Ten Commandments. Somebody say the Ten Commandments. Now, I know you're saying to me, you just said, Pastor, we're under grace and not under the law. But, you know, just because we're under grace doesn't mean that we don't obey the Word of God. And the Ten Commandments is good for today. Amen. But we don't focus on the ten. We focus on the two. The two is love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the ten is included on there, and it's good to know the ten. Amen. But I'm not going to go in the ten this morning. I'm just going to just look at something here because I think it's powerful. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." I'm going to stop here for a second, because if you're saved today, God has brought you out of the world, out of bondage and affliction from the devil, and he's brought you into his son's, dear son's light. Amen? And I love this. So then, if that's the case, then we have responsibility. Say, I have responsibility. And it says here, you shall have, now this is powerful, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. Amen. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy, amen, to thousands, to those who love me. Notice that his mercy is greater than his judgment. His judgment's to the fourth generation, but his mercy is to thousands. Think about that. Somebody say, God's merciful. And so I love that. To those who love me and keep my commands. Say, I love God and I keep his commands. I love that. I love God and I keep his commands. And so we see here, to walk in great grace, we can't have no other gods before us. And anything, and so you can say, well, I don't bow down to a little idol. Pastor, what, are you in front of that TV set too much? You know, some of the old Pentecostal preachers used to call the TV the one-eye devil. Have you ever heard that before? The one-eye devil. Amen. Are you getting too much from the TV these days? Is the TV, you know, can be an idol in your life? Amen. Entertainment can be an idol in your life. In other words, you're putting things before God. Can I get a witness in the house today? See, we think sin is lying, cheating, and stealing. We don't think, well, this is not sin. Well, it can be. You know, I was watching Access Hollywood one time. And I was watching, anybody ever heard of Access Hollywood? It's all the juicy gossip of the stars, of the actors and actresses of Hollywood. Anybody ever want, you know, see that? And I was watching it. And I don't know how many times I've watched it. I was just turning the channel watching it. And the fear of the Lord came on me. And I felt like that God was like judgment. And he's saying, you're idolizing these people. Woo! And I felt this holy fear, almost like I was standing in hell. And it was such a, I wasn't scared. It was what I call a holy fear, a holy terror. Just woo! And he's saying, you're getting too close to the world. You're getting too, that's God's grace. See, God's grace will warn you. God's grace will warn you when you're stepping out of bounds. God's grace will try to bring you back in to his favor. Amen. Another word for grace is favor. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in God's favor. And when that holy fear came on me. I call it holy terror. I never felt that before in my life. It was almost like me being standing in hell without God being with me. And it was like, And you know what I did? I turned off the TV. And I said, I'm never watching that again. Amen. I was like, oh, my Lord Jesus. And it wasn't like I wasn't stealing. I wasn't cheating. I was just watching Access Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? And we need to pray for Hollywood and take the L out of Hollywood and make it Hollywood. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We need to make it Hollywood. We need to pray for these people. Amen. Because wealth and riches won't get you to God. I'm going to say again, wealth and riches won't get you to God. Only the saving blood of Jesus Christ will get you to God. Amen? Amen. So basically, I learned you don't put other things above God. You don't idolize the world. You don't idolize these wealthy, rich people. You know, the rich and the shameless. You know, they used to have a show. No, it's the rich and the famous. It's not the rich and the shameless. It's the rich and the famous. And so they used to have that show where they would show off the people's cribs. You know, that's another word for house. Amen. And they would show off their cribs. You know, they would show off their house. And you know what? But they don't go into their lives, their personal lives. And if you go into some of these rich people's personal lives, you'll find out it's a mess. You'll find out they don't have any peace. You'll find out their relationships are wrecked. You'll find out, you know, they're going through, you know, relationships like people drink water. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, that the money and all that glitz and glamour won't give you the blessings of God. It's only the blood of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we need to be very careful that we're not idolizing the world. We need to be very careful that we're not putting anything before God, that we're not putting our faith and trust in God. We need to put our faith and trust in God, but we don't need to put our faith and trust in people, possessions, and even our own talents and abilities. Don't even put your trust in your own abilities. See, the Apostle Paul was an educated man. God used him in a powerful way. But he said, put no confidence. I'm preaching to somebody today. He said, put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put, just because you got some things going on, just because you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Doesn't mean that you put your trust in that. You better put your trust in something bigger than yourself. See, the world puts their trust in themselves. That's called self-righteousness, but we put our trust in God. Because I don't know about you, but I sometimes don't get there like I want to get there. In other words, I don't make it all the time, I'm able to get things done all the time. But if I get God in my life, I can get some things done. Amen. And so we can't put our trust in natural things. See, I'm talking about grace this morning. Because if you're putting your trust in the natural things of life, you're not putting your trust in God. And if you're not putting your trust in God, then the grace is not working. Because grace works when you're totally dependent on God. Amen. Don't be dependent on your bank account. Don't be dependent on the government subsidies. Don't be dependent on the cheese that they give out. I don't know if they still give out cheese, but it's called government cheese. Don't be dependent on that. No, put your dependency on God. And when you do that, the grace of God. Amen. In other words, you can put other things before God. And I love this in Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of our God. Don't put your trust. Sometimes in the Old Testament, some of the kings would put their trust in armies, in their army. David wasn't supposed to do this, and he sinned. And what he did was he counted all his fighting men. And Joab and some of his advisors said, why are you going to do that? He said, I just want to count all my fighting men. I want to know how many fighting men I have. What he was doing was he sinned because he was putting his trust, he was moving his trust from God to his army. And I'm going to say this, you can't move your trust from God to your money, from God to the government, from God to even your relationships. You know, your husband, your spouse might be a good person that you live with, you love and all that, but don't put your spouse above Jesus. Jesus has to be first. If your spouse tells you don't go to church, you better obey Jesus. Amen. Amen. Because Jesus, somebody say Jesus first. And if Jesus is first, then your spouse would be in a proper order. Jesus, your spouse, then yourself. What, Pastor? Are you saying that I'm last? Doesn't the Bible say the last shall be first? Think about that. The last shall be first. Amen. You put yourself last, God's gonna take care of you. Can I get a witness? When I'm praying, I pray for other people before I pray for myself. Why? Because I want to put other people first. It's not me, my four, us four, no more. No, it's got to be a better prayer than that. Amen. And I love that. And so in Psalms 118, it says, Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So David, he trusted in his army, and a curse came on Israel, and a plague came and wiped out a bunch of people. And then David repented, gave a sacrifice, and God obeyed, he stopped the plague. Amen. But there was judgment to pay for sin. Amen. But you know what? God is merciful. Say, God is merciful. And God wants to be merciful to us. I love that. As we turn back to God, He's merciful. We can be living our own lives, doing our own things, but as you and walking towards the world, but it just takes one moment to turn around and God's grace will come on your life. Amen. Do you believe that today? You're just one prayer away from the grace of God being in your life. I love what it says in Psalms 49, 6 and 7. They trust in their wealth and boast in great riches, yet they cannot redeem themselves from death and paying a ransom to God. Amen? So here, it says here, some people trust in their wealth and boast in their great riches. The Bible says some people believe their wealth is a strong tower and it's impregnable. In other words, enemies can't get to them because their money is protecting them. But I'm going to say this, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, that was a billionaire, he died early in life with cancer. His money couldn't save him. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? He may have thought that his money was like a strong tower that protected him, but I'm telling you, only God can protect you. I love this. You can't even put your faith and trust in people. I'm going to say it again, because it says in Psalms 118, because if I'm putting my faith and trust in who shows up at church on Sunday morning, I'm going to be a depressed pastor. If I'm focused on, well, I wonder if this person's going to show up. I wonder if this person's going to show up. You know, I'm going to be a depressed pastor. I'm just going to have to just thank God whoever shows up, shows up. And I love each one of you. The less people that are here, the more I love you. My love just grows. I mean, if three people show up, I really love three people. Wow, I want them coming back next week. Amen. 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 Can I get a witness now? And I really love each one of you. I've grown to love every person that comes here is an important part of the kingdom. Say I'm important. Amen. That's why the Bible says if you're gonna walk in great grace, this is powerful. I'm going off my script this morning. But you're gonna walk in great grace, not only are you gonna have to love God, get the idols out of your life, but you're going to have to love the body of Christ. In other words, the Bible teaches us to not to forsake the assembly of ourselves with other believers. It talks about that in Hebrews. And it says, as the day is drawing near. And some say, well, what does that mean, as the day drawing near? You know, the day is drawing near. Do you know, the end is pretty, it's coming soon. Do you know the trump is about ready to sound? Do you know that Jesus is about ready to split the eastern sky? Do you know that He's about ready to come? And I want people full of God's oil, full of the oil of the Holy Spirit, ready for the return of Jesus. I want you to stay fired up. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that prayer over you almost every day. Amen. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Glory to God. Amen. Say, the blood of God makes me blameless in God's sight. Amen. And so we got to put our trust in God and not people. Amen. I love this, or things or clothing. Look at this in Matthew. This is powerful. In Matthew 6, 31 and 33, Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when I look at this, I see here what people are putting their trust in. The world is seeking after. They're seeking after, you know, sustenance, food, clothing, and shelter. They're putting the emphasis on that. Amen. But you need to put your emphasis on God. And if you seek first the God, then all these things will be added to you. If you're putting God in proper order, I'm preaching to somebody today, then all these things, food, clothing, and shelter, we will run after you. You don't have to run after things. Things will run after you. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we don't want to be like the world that seeks these things for our security. Your security is not in the house that you live in. Your security, again, is not in the spouse that you live with. Your security is not in your job that you work at. Your security, because all those things can be, in a New York second, can change. I'm going to say this again. Your life can change in a New York second. Your spouse can be here tomorrow and here today and gone tomorrow. But as long as you have God, as long as you're standing on the Word of God, then God's grace will work in your life, no matter what. You know, Brother Hagin, you know, because this scripture here is about worry. We don't want to be worrying. And Brother Hagin made a prayer. It's called a prayer of commitment. There's different types of prayers out here. Prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, prayer of healing, prayer of commitment. And he made a commitment that he wasn't going to worry anymore. And his wife said to him one day, she said, if I drop dead in front of you, I don't think you would even worry about it. And he said, I wouldn't worry about it. Because God has it in hand. God's grace has it in hand. And I've already made a decision. No matter what might be taken away from me, I'm still going to believe and trust God no matter what. And no matter what might be taken away from me, it will be added back to you. I'm going to say this. Remember Job? He lost a lot of things, right? But God came back. He repented. The grace came back full throttle in his life. And he received double for his trouble. So I'm going to say this. Whatever the devil's trying to steal from you, you just sow it as a seed and let God multiply it back to you. Can I get a witness in the house today? Yeah. Amen. Now let's look at this because I want to focus back on the scripture again, the foundation scripture. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. So if we see here that they had all things in common, that they were of one soul and one heart. And so that tells me that they were in unity, glory to God. They were in unity with God the Father and with one another. And what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to divide us. A kingdom divided will not stand. I'm going to say that again. A kingdom divided will not stand. So you got to do everything you can to stay in unity. Stay in unity with your spouse. Stay in unity with God. Stay in unity with the church. Stay in unity. Glory to God. And so how do we do that? You got to continue to walk in the love of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this because Jesus, listen, the apostles, you know, Jesus had 12 guys that he walked with. Is that right? And he was teaching and training them. But do you know that they didn't get along all the time? Did you know that the apostles, they were always, sometimes they were volleying for positions. Some of them would say, the mother would come to Jesus and say, can my two sons sit at your right hand and your left hand? You know, and they were in, and the other disciples said, I can't believe that the mother would ask if the two sons could sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. Oh, how dare her do that? Because and I'm sure Peter and John would say, I qualify for that position. And then Jesus said, you know, it's not for me to put people in positions in heaven. It's up to the Heavenly Father. Jesus passed the buck. Amen. But it's up to the Heavenly Father who has positions in heaven. Is that right? Isn't that, thank God there's a Heavenly Father. And so the bottom line is that we got to walk in the love of God. So Jesus had the 12, and then, you know, he's at the Last Supper. Jesus is about ready to be betrayed by Judas. He's with his disciples for the last time. And he's showed them and give them a lot of illustrations of sermons. He's preached to them for 3 years. And so his final sermon that he has with them is an illustrated sermon. And that illustrated sermon was that he took off his outer garment. He took a towel, wrapped it around himself, and he washed the disciples' feet. Think about this. This was one of the last things he wanted to impress on his disciples before he went to the cross. He washed their feet. Of course, Peter didn't want his feet washed, but he got it washed anyway. Amen. And so he washed their feet, and he said, you may not understand why I'm doing this. I'm your Lord and I'm your master, and I'm kneeling down to wash your feet. And he said, listen, what I do to you, do to one another likewise. In other words, God is calling each one of us not to complain and gripe about each other, but for us to wash each other's feet. Oh, amen. We're called to wash each other's feet. We're called to pray for people when they're going in the wrong direction. We're called to encourage people, not to discourage people. Can I get a witness in the house today? We're called to wash one another's feet. And I love what it says. And then he says here, a new commandment, John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that also you love one another. By this, that we all know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. So the acid test of being a disciple, how do you know a person is the disciple of God? Is that they love the church, that they love one another. That they, you know, I need to get some bumper stickers that says, I love my church, Exceed Life Church. And then stick it on each one of your cars. Glory to God. Amen. That's what I need to do. And you, what's the pastor doing out there during the service? He's putting those stickers on our car. I love my church. Amen. I love my church. And Exceed Life Church, where God's love and power prevails. Amen. And so Jesus gave the commandment to his disciples, amen, to love one another regardless of what's going on. You know, I'm going to say this today. This is powerful. I've never said this before on the platform, but are you ready for this? This was a revelation that I got. Do you want to know the secret of God's power? Are you ready? Do you really, you probably are, you, maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing. What is the secret of God's power? Think about this. God is the most powerful being in the entire universe. What is the secret of God's power? The secret of God's power is that he walks in unity with himself. Oh, that's powerful, Pastor. In other words, God is a triune being. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And the Trinity, the Godhead, is never in disagreement. The power of God Almighty is in His unification, that He's unified with Himself. Sometimes I fight with myself. Have you ever fought with yourself? You're really fighting with the Holy Spirit. You're fighting with, should I go to church today, or should I stay home today? My flesh is saying, stay home, sleep in, or should I go to church? You're fighting. And the Holy Spirit said, go to church because you're going to be blessed. You're going to be enhanced. The grace is going to be increased. It's going to abound in your life. Come to church. You know, I found out when I fell out of church, the grace wasn't greater in my life. In other words, it seemed like I got more problems when I was out of church. But when I started coming into church, the grace started working and my problems started getting solved. Is anybody out there understanding what I'm saying today? So our problems will get solved under the power of God. So God's power is in His unification. Now let me say this way. The world is not in unity with God. Amen? And God sent His Son Jesus to pay the price, to pour His blood out. Why? To bring unity between God and man. And so really, we're ambassadors of reconciliation. We're called to reconcile the world to God. God wants the world in unification with Him. Amen. And you know it's going to come, it's going to all end up good, because when it all comes to the end, you know, the devil will be in a fiery pit. All unbelievers, people that reject Christ, will be there too, unfortunately, because they had a choice and they reject Christ. But then everybody that loves God will be with Him. And all the angels that love God will be with Him. And we will be all in unity in the great by and by. That's where we're going towards. A unification. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I've never heard a preacher preach that before. But that's hot off the press. God's power is in unity, glory to God. I'm telling you, you're getting it today. Amen? Glory to God. You might have to give a bigger offering at the end of the service for this, just this nugget of truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to hinder you from giving more into the church. Glory to God. That's where God's grace abounds. Amen. I love this. It says here that this is powerful. You ready for the next scripture? Are you ready for the next? This is powerful. 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Think about this. Well, you may say, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But this is powerful. Paul is given a salutation here, and he's saying, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I love that. The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So we see here love and fellowship and grace. Can you see that? Grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting it? And so we see here really what promotes the grace. The grace is number one, the grace. What promotes the grace is the love and the fellowship. You got it? The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you into having good fellowship with other people. Amen? Somebody say grace, love, and fellowship. I love that. And let's look at the foundational scripture again. And the multitude of those who believe were at one heart and one soul. Notice that. They were at one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of things he possessed was their own, but they had all things in common. What it was saying was that they were willing to give some of their stuff to other people. Amen. In other words, they were saying, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. And then with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So listen, I can't talk about unity. I can't talk about unity without going to Psalms 133. I have to go to Psalms 133 because that's the unification scripture in the Bible. That's Psalms 133. It says this way, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Think about that. How good and how pleasant it is, and that's including spouses too. That, how good it is for spouses to dwell together in unity. How good it is for families to dwell in unity with one another. How good it is for the church to dwell. Are you getting it this morning? Are you getting it? It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of the garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mounts of Zion. And then, "For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So we see here that the unity here is with believers, amen? And it's noticed that it said it's like the oil that's coming down. See, the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. How many people want the Holy Spirit to bathe you every day? How many people want to be bathed in the Holy Spirit's love, the Holy Spirit's peace, the Holy Spirit's joy? And it says here that when you walk in the unity of God, that it's like the oil that comes down. In other words, the Holy Spirit is touching you, and in other words, nothing bothers you. In other words, you're letting things go. You're letting bygones be bygones. You're burying the hatchet. Not in somebody's head, hopefully. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're burying that. What does that mean? You're burying the hatchet. The hatchet is a tool to hurt somebody. You're burying it because you're getting rid of it. You're not going to use the axe to cut somebody's head off. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You're burying the hatchet. You're not going to sink it into their heads. Amen? And so what am I saying here? Unity is the key. Amen? And for the anointing, another word for grace is anointing. Anointing, fall on me. Amen? I know I'm not a singer, but let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. I think it was, who sang that song? Ron Canole. I wish I had him up here singing this song for me to help my point go across. Amen. But anointing. Amen. Fall on me. I'm not a singer. I'm not graced to be a singer, but I wish I was. Glory to God. I wish I had that great voice. I'd probably be singing all the time. Amen. And glory to God. I wouldn't be preaching. I'd be singing. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. And so somebody say anointing. Anointing is the grace of God. In other words, how many people want to walk in the anointing of God? I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 92. "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." I'm going to say this to you today. When you learn to reconcile your differences with people and with God, you're going to be anointed with fresh oil. You're going to be anointed with the oil of God on your life. That oil will cause the joy and the peace to work in your life. Are you getting it this morning? So we got it. I'm focusing on grace this morning, and I believe that God can raise the level of grace in our lives. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians. I got to close this down. But look at Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and with gentleness and with long suffering." Notice this. Listen, can I talk to you this morning about attitudes? Can I talk to you about your attitude? See, your attitude is everything in the kingdom of God. Your attitude is your faith address in the kingdom of God. Your attitude will either bring the grace of God in your life or push the grace of God away from your life. Your attitude will come into the room before you do. And if you got a thankful heart attitude, if you got a praise attitude, if you got a humble attitude, then I'm telling you, the grace will be working in your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And he says here, beseech you. He's saying, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called, with all lowliness, with gentleness, with long suffering. That's another word for patience. Bearing one another in love. Notice that. Bearing one another. That you bear with other people's shortcomings. Their issues that they have, you bear with them. You might say, how long must I bear with you? Even Jesus said, when his disciples weren't walking in too much faith, how much longer must I bear with you? You know, Jesus even got a little exasperated with his disciples at times because they weren't walking in faith. Amen. And he said, bearing with one another, love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. So notice that, to keep the unity in the spirit. So how are we going to keep the unity in the spirit in the bond of peace? Well, we're going to have to walk in the humility of God. Amen? Somebody say, walk in the humility of God. And the Bible says, if you humble, somebody say humble. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. If you humble yourself. What is missing in the world today? Humility. What is the world all about? They're about showcasing themselves. They're about showing off their nice new car, showing off their threads. That's clothes. And showing off. Amen. Showing off. You got nice threads. You know, that's clothes. And showing off everything. Their bright smile. They're all about showing off. They're all about the bling, but we need to be about Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due season. Say, exaltation is coming. Amen. So exaltation is coming. Amen. So he will exalt us in due season. So the only way he's going to raise us up is that we're going to have to lower ourselves down. Can I say that again? The only way God's going to raise us up, we got to lower ourselves down. In other words, the lower you become in your eyes, the greater you become in God. The lower you become in your eyes. See, Paul, he got this revelation. Even though he was a great apostle, he said, I have nothing. I can do nothing. I'm not, you know, my value is nothing without Jesus. You got to realize this. You're nothing without Jesus in your lives. You have nothing if you don't have Jesus in your life. You can do nothing unless you have Jesus in your lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Glory to God. So you got to get a revelation of that. And you got to get a revelation that peace, walking in the peace of God, is the key to keeping the grace of God in your life. Amen. I like what it says. I'm summing this up with Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace. Hebrews 12, 14, 15. Let make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up, causing trouble and defile many. So here in this scripture in Hebrews, he's talking about walking in holiness. And he's saying, if you want the grace of God in your life, you got to be holy. And you say, well, what is holiness? Well, you don't automatically get holiness when you get saved. You get righteousness. Now, righteousness is a standing with the Father because of the blood of Jesus. You are righteous in God. You have right standing with God because of the blood, not because of your works. You're saved by grace. You're saved through faith. So your standing with God is right standing, but you have to operate in holiness. What's holiness? Holiness is pushing away from the world and embracing God. It's godliness. Again, holiness is godliness, not worldliness. Can I get a witness in the house today? Worldliness is living like the world. Godliness is living like God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And the Bible says this, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. And and what's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Amen. And so he's saying here that don't allow unresolved conflict to bring bitterness in your life. There's lots of Christians walking around with a chip on their shoulder, and they're bitter because they felt like somebody hurt them, and they're not willing to let go of that hurt, and now they got a chip on their shoulder, and that grace is not working effectively in their lives. If you're walking around with a chip on your shoulder, if you're walking around in unforgiveness with aught in your heart towards people or companies or anyone, then you are not walking in the grace that God wants you to walk in. And it says the root of bitterness, it says, does not fall short of the grace of God, and that root of bitterness will cause many to be defiled. Amen. So I'm going to sum it up with the last 3 points to sum up my entire message. If you're going to increase the grace of God in your life, get in unity with God. Get the idols out of your life. Amen. Don't put anything before God, because what you put before God, that's your security. And that thing falls, then you fall. But God will never fall. Say, get the idols out. Number two, if you're going to increase the grace in your life, you got to get in unity with God's people. Walk in love and get the strife out. Amen? If you're going to increase the grace, Ephesians 4, 31, 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And number three, if you're going to increase the grace of God in your life, you need to walk in humility towards God and people to receive more grace. And I'm going to sum it up with this last verse. It's in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. I love that. So he's saying here, as people that walk in the grace of God, we must do justly, do what is right towards people and God, love mercy. Somebody say, love mercy.
Love mercy.
We gotta be merciful people. We got to be willing to forgive. And then we need to walk humbly. Say, walk humbly.
Walk humbly.
Before the Lord and other people. Did you receive it today? Did you receive it today? I'm telling you, glory to God, I'm fired up this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Somebody say, I'm walking in the love of God.
And
the grace of God will work effectively in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that your grace is abounding towards those that humble themselves before you. And perhaps you're here in the audience, perhaps you're listening or watching, and you know there's areas in your life that you need to put down. There's things in your life that you're exalting before God. It might be even yourself. You might be putting yourself above God, making yourself God in your life. And I'm going to say this, that this is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance. So I want to invite you to put Jesus in the driver's seat. Allow Jesus to be your pilot, and he will allow you to be the co-pilot. So pray this prayer with me and me in your heart if you're ready to move forward in greater grace in your life. Say this, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.